All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to, no guest today, but I'm going to let you tease this because you've got something really interesting. I kind of stole one of your headlines about the four E's to persuasive copy or persuasive content, really. So,
yeah. Yeah, the 4E method to persuasive content creation. So I did a training yesterday with a group of product creators, entrepreneurs that are building seven-figure brands. They're all in different stages. And decided to whip up some presentation for them and been working on it this week. And not so much like a PowerPoint presentation, but it was more of a workshop to get them kind of out of their heads and just give them a shortcut and the ability or the to make it okay for them to like just communicate in a couple different ways that, you know, a little lighter, a little more fun, things like that. So I came up with this 4E method for creating content, and it went over really well. Got tons of feedback from the people afterwards. Let me pull up some of them. Like, you know, these are just, I'm not going to give away too much of that, but yeah, there was a lot of good feedback, and I can talk about some of it afterwards, but so I don't want to give too much away.
Right.
But it should give you a little bit of a shift or a little bit of an insight on how to create content that is persuasive without, and this is probably a key thing, without talking about your product. Mm. So you don't have to talk about your product. In fact, it's better if you don't.
Yeah.
When you're creating this type of content, and it will still sell your product. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you were just on one of my other shows earlier today and sharing some of those, some of this content, some of these emails that, man, they were good. I just got to say.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we won't get in. I don't know if we'll get in. We might get into, who knows? Who knows with us what we'll get into, right?
So you never know.
Speaking of getting into, we get into our beverages.
That's right. That's right. And we got to mention, we're recording this 2 days before the 4th, so we hope everyone has a terrific Independence Day weekend. Barbecues, smoking, I mean, what do you got planned?
I don't know, we don't have a lot planned, but, you know, good food is always around this time of year, sure.
That's right.
But yeah, I don't have a lot planned, maybe a lot of nothing, which is also good for, you know, a three-day weekend, so... yeah, probably a lot of nothing.
Fireworks.
Little hammock time.
Fireworks.
Little hammock time. Probably find some fireworks somewhere. You know, burgers.
Watching
just the basics.
Watching one of those great American independence films.
Independence Day for the 5,000th time.
Here we go.
We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July.
And you, who is that? Bill, what's his name?
For our freedom.
Dude, that is,
not from
that
tyranny, is, oppression, or persecution.
Those guys in that movie must be getting just nonstop royalty checks, because that movie is always on somewhere.
Yeah, you listen to what Bill, it's Bill, what's his name? I've seen that guy recently in a show, and it's pretty sad because he's, it's not that he's aged, but his speech is a little slurry now. So he's not quite the actor, you know.
Yeah,
not that in that movie was like, you know, it's an acting. He didn't win any Emmys or Oscars for that movie, but still,
it's not exactly an Oscar type film for sure. It was good. Like, you know, we all keep watching it for some reason. Like,
that's
we
right.
just keep watching.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So, All right, let's get into some beverages. I've got an American beverage on today.
Uh-oh.
Some independence beverage going.
Did you get some Budweiser?
I thought about it. I just couldn't.
I did grab a Miller Lite, like, and I was like, nah, I can't do that. But there's a Miller Lite left over in the fridge from a guest, so.
Oh, okay.
But I did not bring that. So what do you have? What American
So what's more American than a good old Sam Adams?
There you go.
Samuel Adams. So I have a, I'm going
to
switch.
Right up there to the area of the founding fathers.
That's right.
Plymouth, that's right. Rock, so, and
here we go.
All that stuff. Whoa, look at you. Now you got light on you.
Now there I got go. Some light.
Coming out of the dark. I like
so,
it.
So Sam Adams, this is a summer ale citrus wheat.
Nice.
So this is a light, refreshing American wheat ale. Has citrus, a citrus blend of orange, lime, and lemon peels, and subtle grains of paradise spice. Crisp and easy drinking. Summer ale brightens any summer day. 5.3 ABVs. Here's what I'm a little surprised by. Only 8 IBUs for wow. a summer ale. You'd think it's a little more, with the citrus, it'd be a little more...
hoppy.
Yeah, but a little more hoppy than that. So, but not.
Guess not. And so, you are decked out with the Under Armour flag hat. You got yes. the flag on the sleeve. I mean, I've just got the flag on the hat. But
that's right. It is. This is my favorite grunt style.
Oh, look at that. America.
Bourbon.
There you go. Like it. Looks like Captain America, kind of.
There you go. Captain America. It does. It gives that feel, especially that, yeah. What was that, 1980s Captain America, where you yeah. had the painted wings on the helmet?
Yeah. So you can go faster.
That's right. That's right. So for our listening audience who don't know the history of Sam Adams, I got to say, Sam Adams, American statesman, philosopher, one of the founding mm-hmm. fathers of the U.S. He was a yep. politician in colonial Massachusetts, a leader of the movement that became the American Revolution. And he was also one of the architects of the principles of the American Republicanism that shaped political culture. So you just got a history lesson, America.
There you go. Yeah. And I was looking at one of my emails today, and it was Join or Die, which is Ben Franklin talking about you better join the cause or die.
That's right.
When around the whole revolution. So,
Jine.
So let's see. I've got a North Coast Brewing Company Old Stock Ale.
Ooh. I like
so it. This was,
it sounds familiar.
This is, yeah, this is Old Stock Ale 2020. I think we probably had a different year on a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Same bottle, but they do a different one every year. Yep. And this was actually one of the first like plus 10 ABV beers I ever had was the Old Stock Ale. Okay. So it's a pretty strong, I think this one's 11 and a half, something like that. Not sure on the IBUs, but it kind of has a little bit of almost a little bit of a malt liquor taste, which can't get much more American than malt liquor, right? So
malt liquor and America, man, that's like hand, mm-hmm. that goes hand in hand.
I know, right? Anything you can pick up at a convenience store, you know, while you're driving around.
I used to love my Schlitz malt liquor back in the day.
There you go. Yeah. So this is it's not a light ale. It's kind of a medium, probably, ale. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites, it's the first sip or two, you know, it takes some getting used to. It's a little stronger than you might expect for an ale. But it's consistently good. I've actually had this one earlier this week.
Oh, good.
So I know where it's at. So
excellent.
I guess we'll do a cheers and then do our ratings and then jump in.
Cheers. Oh man.
Is it good?
Sam Adams never disappoints. No, it's actually not too citrusy.
Yeah. Same. I mean, you know, they're making it mass market for the most part. They got to, you know, it's only the really niche craft beers that get crazy and sometimes do it. But when you got to serve it up in restaurants and by the keg, like you better have a pretty, you know, mass appeal to it.
They walk the line pretty well. It's nothing like just razzle dazzle you. I mean, it doesn't just like, you know, it's just a good solid. It's a nice summer ale. It's very refreshing, really light. No, it's not. I think those IBUs are probably spot on. It's not really cool. That bitter,
so what's your rating on it?
I'm going to give, just because, you know, summer ale, you know, it is good, but just not one of my typical go-tos. I will, a little light for my taste, but I'll still give it a 3.9.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give, Old Stock ale. So to me, this, if you like stouts and you like heavier beers,
yeah,
this is a good alternative for that as you get summer. It's still pretty rich, but it's not as rich as the stouts or the imperial stouts or things like that. So mm-hmm. if I had to, I would call it like an imperial ale. Like it's got that level of where you can taste the alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
But it's still an ale.
And you said it was 10?
It's like 11.5.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Something like that. Can't read it without my glasses, but I think I remember that. It's 11.5. So yeah, I'll give this about a 3.5. Like it's not something I would just sit down with, but it is one of it. I'll give it a 3.75.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So significant. Not amazing, but good.
Yeah. Solid. I mean, that's good. That's like a B plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
can't give everybody
B+.
A 4. Yeah. I can't give everybody a 4+.
That's right. You know, I passed on some really good ones. I was at the local establishment this afternoon, and I passed up. They had some new arrivals, and I really wanted to grab them, but I passed them up just to be, you know, red, white, and blue. You know, yeah. Sam Adams, patriotic, all that stuff.
I like it. Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, shall we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
The 4 E's, or the 4 E method.
Or the 4E method.
Yeah,
4E method. Yeah. I just made it up yesterday, so it doesn't really matter what we call it. I've been using the principles forever, but I didn't have an actual title. And I didn't, you know, sometimes you just do stuff as a professional that you don't really, until you got to teach it to somebody, you don't really break it down and see what you were doing. So that's kind of what happened this week is I was talking to this group of people. They're not copywriters, they're business builders. And so I had to break it down in a way that would help them understand kind of some different ways to go about creating content. So before we get into the actual E's, I want to share a little bit about some of the key things that I reminded them of. Okay. And number one is, when you're marketing, especially when you're doing content, and content should always be persuasive, even if it doesn't ask for the sale directly, right? You may have a blog post, and maybe in that blog post, you've got a banner ad out on the right side or in the middle that's going to link to whatever you're actually trying to sell. But that blog post should still be persuasive and kind of warm them up for whatever the next step in the sale is, right? So I don't think of this as, you know, I don't think of marketing and content or sales and content is separate. I think it's all part of the process.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. It's all communication. And ultimately you're always trying to get them to a sale of some kind.
Right.
So, but one thing I told them is that, you know, this isn't all your customers are on a journey. And we've talked about this before. Like they're on a journey going about their day. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking about your product. They're thinking about their problems. They're thinking about their day, whatever they're excited about, whatever they're upset about. That's what they're thinking about, right? So, for instance, today, and we talked about this on the earlier show, today is Friday before July 4th as we're recording this. So there's a lot of people today that are, what are they doing? They're getting ready to go somewhere, and a lot of people are going to the grocery store to stock up on chips and burgers and hot dogs and buns and like, oh my God, we thought we had buns, but we're out of buns. We got to go get hamburger buns and hot dog buns. Oh my God. This, like, that's the urgent thing of their day. It's not buying a new course or a new widget or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, unless it's
buying
like
somewhere
we're going
else.
To the lake.
That's right.
Yeah. Unless we're going to the lake and it's like, oh my God, we need a new floaty or we need a new tube because the last one broke or got a hole in it or whatever. Right. So that's the train they're in.
And fireworks.
If you don't sell one of fireworks. Yeah. Where are we going to go see the fireworks? Like, so if you don't sell one of those things, then it's easy to just kind of pass on the holiday and be like, oh, I'll email next week. Or you can just enter the conversation that's already going on in their head.
Sure.
About 4th of July, and you can provide some value. And I showed an example of an email I did earlier where, you know, it's a client of mine that sells granite countertops, and instead of trying to sell granite countertops, because most people are probably not going to do that on the 4th of July weekend. They're going to be doing something else.
Right.
We sent them recipes, 4th of July recipes, like desserts, salads, you know, top 10 recipes you could enjoy for 4th of July.
Sure.
Right. We gave them something that would help them and throughout their weekend. And I'll explain where that falls in, which E that falls in here in a minute. So the main thing I want people to hear before we start is this journey that they're on is not about your product.
Right.
Like the journey is not to get to your product.
Yeah.
The journey is the journey.
Right.
So it's not about your product. It's about their journey. And then you can slip your product in there for sure. And you should, but it's not, you shouldn't make the content that you're delivering just about your product.
Sure.
There's a time and place for it, but most of the time, I think, what was that, a book 3 or 4 years ago with Gary Vaynerchuk, jab, 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 right hook, right? You know, it's like content, content, content. Oh, then ask for the sale,
right?
So this is kind of a similar idea.
I think of it like dating. You know, if you're dating, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, it's been years since we've dated, Sean, but but that, you know, you're courting.
I did not, to be clear, you and I did not date. Well, not that there's anything wrong with that, right?
That's right. But you know, you didn't go right into like, you know, trying to sell your, I mean, if you do it right, I mean, there's courting involved. It's a slow process. You're not like trying to close the deal every time, which, you know, you're talking about proposing right away.
Not
you know,
in our day, like, anyway.
Hey, let's get married. Will you marry me? You didn't say that on the third or fourth date. You know, it's kind of a drawn out process of getting to know that person, developing a relationship, nurturing that, you know, over time. So to build trust.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the whole point is trust marketing. Trust-based marketing is about, you know, building trust over time. And
absolutely. So we, you know, we want to remember that we want to focus on the customer or the prospect and their journey and what they're going through.
Absolutely.
So how do you help them, even if it doesn't mean you necessarily get a sale from that piece of content?
Right.
But how do you still be persuasive enough that when it is time for them to buy your product, you're going to be the person they think of, right?
Sure.
And I've got a bunch of examples of companies for each one of these four E's that probably fit in this category. So you could almost think about these sort of like, what you'll find is your company or your business, your brand will lean towards one of these four more than the other, but you can use all of them, but you'll definitely kind of resonate, I think, more with one than the other. So let's just jump in and go through them.
Okay.
And they're pretty simple. Like it doesn't take a lot of explanation to go through these, but we'll talk about each one a little bit based on the brand, a couple of the brands that I found that I think do use these things. So the first thing that you can do when you're writing persuasive content is to entertain your audience, entertain your prospects, and you want to entertain them on their journey, right? So whatever journey they're on, being a new mom, being a golfer, being like, you can entertain them along that journey.
Sure.
Like you don't have to sell them every time. I mean, you think about, JP Sears, right? He entertains people just along their journey. And now he's gone pretty conservative and, you know, he didn't start out that way. Yeah. He actually started out as a pretty serious life coach. Then he started this whole, you know, comedy stuff.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a life coach. That's cool.
Yeah. And then he, you know, he does stand up and then he started doing these videos and, actually, I don't know if the videos came first and then the stand up. Either way, he was kind of serious first, but then he started entertaining his audience and he just entertained them on the journey that they're on about, you know, self-discovery or about, you know, whatever he wants to cover. He just entertains them while they're thinking about those things.
Right.
And he's blown up because of it. Yeah. Right. He wasn't like that before when he was just a life coach. So that's interesting and to watch. Yeah. So some of the other companies that I think of, one is Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Yep.
They're here in Texas. I know they have a store in Texas. I don't know if they're based here, but they have a store right outside of San Antonio. If you're ever down here in Bernie or San Antonio,
okay,
they have a actual store with swag and t-shirts like you like there.
Awesome.
But Black Rifle, if you go on their Instagram, you will not see much coffee on their Instagram. What you will see is a bunch of guys and gals shooting automatic weapons or semi-automatic weapons or handguns or whatever they can get their hands on.
Sure.
There's lots of guns, lots of shooting, lots of veteran stuff, lots of, you know, military appreciation. And usually, you know, in the pick, there might be a, you know, a huggy, you know, with the logo on it says Black Rifle Coffee Company, or you'll see somebody drinking out of a mug and then the bottom of the mug has the logo. And
right.
So there's product placement, but most of their Instagram feed is just pure entertainment.
It's subtle. It's always subtle.
Yeah. The product placement's subtle. The entertainment is not.
Yeah.
It's right out there. And that's, you know, that's what they do. They're entertaining their people. They know their people like guns. They like America. They like flags. They like veterans. So they do a lot of that stuff on all their social posts and things like that.
Sure.
And oh, by the way, we happen to sell really good coffee if you want that. And that's right. How a lot of this stuff is. It's like, do the entertaining or one of the other three I'm going to talk about. And then your product becomes, oh, by the way, we also have
absolutely
this while you're on your journey. If you mention it at all. Like, you really don't have to, because if you're entertaining people, they will stick around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll eventually figure out what you do. And if they like you,
sure,
they'll buy from you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes even if they don't need it, they'll just buy from you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, it makes me think about, even though, you know, Coke is a big brand. So we don't like to use them very often because they're just one of the big, huge brands. But it makes me always think about, you ever see every time somebody gives a press conference, they have a bottle of Coke on the podium. And, you know, like initially when you first see that, you just think, oh, that guy's probably drinking a Coke. Well, they're not really drinking a Coke. They just, it's product placement. Yeah. So, but you associate that person, whether it's a coach that's doing an interview, a press conference, but you associate that product with something that they automatically endorse. Otherwise, why would they have it right in front of them while they're talking?
Yeah, you know, big in NASCAR too, right? Yeah, I mean, they drink like six different drinks when they win. It's like Gatorade, Coke, Coke. It's like it's crazy.
Yep,
little over the top for sure. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to talk. I'm going to mention Coke earlier, but not under entertainment. I think they fall into a different category. Mm-hmm. A couple other brands. Some of these are bigger brands that I think fall under entertainment. Number one is Doritos.
Mm.
Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. It's a very kind of entertainment driven brand. Mm-hmm. And then this one may not, I didn't think so at first, but then I thought about it and I agree. I looked up a couple brands that I thought might be like, entertaining type brands, and Geico. Mm. And if you think about a lot of their commercials, they're, even Progressive now is with Flo.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
That's kind of an entertainment type thing, right? They got the little things they do with their group of people. And it's very entertaining to watch the commercials.
Yep.
And Geico is kind of the same way with the Gecko and the, you know, a lot of the things they've done, you know,
Caveman. I mean, they've pulled out all sorts of things with the Caveman, got the lizard or the Geico. Yeah.
And then, even Allstate, I think you got into it for a while with, Mayhem character.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So those all kind of run together, but they all kind of went down that entertainment road a little bit.
Sure.
Which makes sense because, you know, those commercials typically run in the evenings when you're watching entertainment on TV. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense to just fit entertainment into the commercial slot instead of this, you know, abrupt change to a drug commercial or whatever, right? You know, kind of keep the entertainment going. So that's entertaining. Can you think of any other like entertainment-based brands?
You know, I think of some of the infomercials, like, products like, what's the tape, the flex tape thing? But they turn it, they make it entertaining to watch, you know, because they're slapping it all over.
You know, yeah, I think that falls under a different category.
Yeah.
So we'll go back. Let me go through the rest of the categories, and okay. I think you'll see like where some of these others fit in. You'll be like, yeah, I can see how that fits in there versus sure. this or that. And that's why I said as you hear them, you'll find different brands could do that, mm-hmm. but they really fit better under one or the other. Yeah. So the second one, the second E is educate them about their journey. So the first one was entertain them on their journey. Right. And then the second one is educate them about their journey. So whatever journey they're on, they need to kind of know how to get to the next phase, right? So you want to educate them about the journey that they're on. So some examples of companies that I think do this pretty well, Google, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's the first place YouTube, right. YouTube could probably be both entertainment and education because right. half the people go there for entertainment. Half the people probably go there for, I mean, it's the second biggest search engine, I think, you know, behind Google, you know, where if you want to find out how to, you know, change the muffler on your car, that's the journey you're on today. You can go to Google and they're going to help you out on right. along that journey. Mm-hmm. Right. Wall Street Journal, Morgan Stanley, Credit Karma, company I used to work for, capitalism.com. Mm-hmm. They help you along the journey of becoming a brand owner and a capitalist. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite supplement brands right now is Tonique, T-O-N-I-I-Q. Mm-hmm. They send out a newsletter every week that has nothing to do with their products. In fact, this week's, their product wasn't even mentioned. Mm-hmm. But it links out. It's kind of like Tim Ferriss's Five Bullet Friday. It mm-hmm. kind of links out to other key things that you would be interested in if you're interested in supplements.
Sure.
So they have three or four articles that link out to other people's stuff and educates you kind of on that fitness health mm-hmm. journey that you're on, right?
Right.
So that's how you would use education, is you would think about what journey is my prospect on mm-hmm. and how can I help them as they're on that journey?
Yeah.
And there's endless amounts of content there. So one of the people that I was talking to in the training yesterday, they own a new brand called Fly Dad.
Okay.
And it's for dads with kids, probably 10 and under. And they make a specific backpack that has pockets for all the stuff you got to carry with kids, right? Whether it's
sure.
baby wipes or snack boxes. It's got like an insulated cooler, you know, mm-hmm. pocket in it. Like, you know, whether it's a newborn up to about a 10-year-old, this backpack, and it looks cool. It doesn't, it's not camo. It looks like, so they are going a little bit towards kind of like fashion and hip hop and that kind of stuff. So it's more of a classic look instead of like a woman's diaper bag or like on the other end, it's like, you know, the camo bags that are real popular. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of found this little sweet spot. And we were talking about, well, how would they educate? Well, they could educate anything to do with being a new father or having two kids versus three kids, or, you know, yeah. what to do with your kids on the weekend when it's your weekend. Like there's so much content that they could do around that.
Sure.
And then their bag is just in their pictures and part of that conversation. It's like, you're going to take your kid to the park. Make sure you take your Fly Dad bag with you.
Yeah.
It's got this pocket for juice, and you wouldn't even have to mention it. You could just show pictures of it and people would want it. So that's a good example of how you might educate people that's not related to your brand.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's not about your product. It's about their journey.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of GoRuck. I don't know. I'm trying to think yeah. of how they educate, but you know, they sell, you know, it's all about the journey, getting out, mm-hmm. you know, rucking, but in the process you start to learn about all this other, you know, their backpacks, and then they get the weights that you put in the different,
oh yeah,
the different just went on size weights.
I just hit a 3-mile, 45-pound ruck here between mm-hmm. our two podcasts. So,
oh, cool. Awesome.
Tamara and I went out and did a quick ruck. Yeah. So, and I think they could fall under the next category. In fact, mm-hmm. So yeah, I had Google, Wall Street Journal, Morgan Stanley, Credit Karma, Tony, Capitalism, as far as educating you about your journey or along your journey, I guess you could say that. So entertain on the journey, educate about the journey. And then number three is to equip them for their journey.
Okay.
So these are companies that do a really good job of helping you, you know where you're going, you know what you're up to. So to me, a good example of this is REI, right?
Yeah.
Like they literally equip you to go camping, go outdoors, things like that. Same with, GoRuck, as you mentioned, Garmin is another one that kind of equips you for that journey.
Right.
And then I thought of another one like IKEA, right? You're on this journey of furnishing your house and having a new place or, you know, whatever.
Got everything, right?
They equip you to get that first or second or third house or, you know, depending on where you are in your journey. They literally help you equip your house.
Yeah.
Another one is, Levi's. They're kind of that style of brand where it's like, your jeans to go out and do the thing, especially the older Levi's commercials where it wasn't as much. It's always been fashion, but it's also been very utilitarian at the same time.
Sure.
Yep. And then I just, as we were kind of kicking off, another one I thought of was Buc-ee's, which we talked about earlier today, right? They're equipping you stop. You got to have the road trip fuel, fuel for your car and then fuel for yourself. And then the bathrooms, like Buc-ee's, for those of you that haven't heard that Buc-ee's story, it's a huge Texas convenience store. It's massive, 50,000 square feet, hundreds of gas pumps, literally hundreds of gas pumps. And now they're expanding kind of across the Southeast.
When I was out there, I remember when I was out there in April, I went in there cause I flew into Houston and then I was going on a fishing trip down to Louisiana. So I literally had planned to stop at a outdoor sports store to get some fishing gear and stuff like that. I go into Buc-ee's and I realize they got everything here. It's like your one-stop shop. So
I know
they equip me with not only food, but dock shoes for the boat, fishing gear, some fishing stuff that I needed to grab along the way. I mean, it's like,
that's right. They do have like a fishing section in a lot of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I don't have to make any other stops. It's like, I spent an hour in there and it was like, I'm done. So
yeah. And as they're putting one up near you in Crossville.
Yep.
And I think somebody said they're putting one in South Georgia on 75, which will get all that beach traffic coming out of.
Well, there's already one everywhere in right below Warner Robins.
Okay. Georgia. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So it's right off 75. You can see it. And it opened up last year. That was huge for Georgia.
I mean, can you imagine the summer traffic that thing gets? Just everybody going down to Florida, Orlando, all over.
That was strategic, man. And you can see the signs like we were talking about earlier on a different show. You see those billboards for days. And
they took, it was Rock City that did that a long time. Mm-hmm. Still does that, I guess.
Yep.
But then the other south of the border used to do that on I-95, which I think is the South Carolina, North Carolina border or Virginia, North Carolina. I can't remember which one, but one of those, it's like this little, it doesn't compare even anymore. Like it's kind of run down now,
sure.
But it was like a destination stop. Mm-hmm. If you were doing the I-95 corridor over on the East Coast.
Right.
But it's not what it used to be, but they had those billboards for hundreds of miles, up and down I-95. So that's equip. So recapping, entertain them on their journey, educate them about their journey, and then equip them for their journey. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth E is to encourage them. And you could go a couple ways with this, but one thing I say is one way I've said is you can encourage them. The journey is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause when you're on a journey, there's always a point where it kind of gets a little frustrating. It kind of gets a little hard and you need a little encouragement. And there's brands that I think do that really well. And one of the brands I think that does that really well is Peloton. Mm-hmm. They're very encouraging about this fitness journey that you're on, and if you're not in that world, you may not realize how much that's true. You may think it's more about weight loss or, whatever. But if you're in the classes and doing their programs, you realize it's much more about how are you showing up today?
Yeah.
It's very inspirational, very encouraging. And that's really what their brand is about.
And the sale doesn't end like when you make it, you know, you buy the product. Like it's not like a Nordic Track or something like that where you buy it and you go home and you take it. And then, you know, that's just the beginning with like a Peloton because you, you get into a community.
Well, and you're paying monthly.
Yeah. You're paying monthly. So it's like, you're almost, and to me, that's like a strong, marketing advantage on their part because the fact that you're paying, I mean, it's not about the money for them. It's about the commitment because you're paying, you're committed. You know, it's like you follow through commitment and consistency. If you're shelling out, if you've got skin in the game, you're going to try to follow through with that and be a part of something. So,
yeah. And they, you know, but it, when you listen, I don't think I've had my bike for probably close to 5 years now. We were early adopters, but I don't think I've ever taken a class where they've talked about, okay, let's burn calories today or, you know, let's drop 2 pounds, you know, in the next hour. Yeah. It's always like, you're going to be stronger when you get off this bike than when you got on it. You know, you took the time to show up today and we love that about you. Like that kind of reinforcement of encouragement is what they're really good at. Yeah. And I think there's other brands that do that. I actually think